Lifting weights is apparently good for a lot more than building impressive-looking muscles. My guest Miriam Nelson is the Associate Chief of the Human Physiology Lab at the Tufts University Center on Aging. She's also a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine. She's been conducting research on how exercise affects aging since 1983. Recently, her studies have focused on the health benefits of strength training for older women. She translated her research on strength training into the bestseller Strong Women Stay Young. Now she has a follow-up book called Strong Women Stay Slim. I asked her why her focus now is on strength training.
Since the late 80s, we've been really focusing a lot on strengthening exercises and how they affect the typical losses of muscle that many individuals experience, that most individuals experience as they get older. And in women in particular, we lose about 1/4 pound to 1/3 pound of muscle every year after we reach the age of 30. And the only thing that we've seen that can counteract that loss of muscle is strengthening exercises. And the problem as we get older is that we're losing muscle, but we're gaining fat and we're gaining body weight. So it really compounds and really affects women, especially as they get into their 50s, 60s, 70s and on up.
Now, before we go any further, you're researching older women. Is your research relevant to younger women and to men?
Certainly. And I'm not just researching older women. I've done a fair amount of work with women in their 20s and 30s. Our laboratory, the primary focus has been in older individuals, but after all, we're all aging from the time that we're born, and certainly the principles that we're looking at apply to men as well. The issues for women, again, are that we tend to have a much less muscle than men. We lose it at about the same rate, but then it catches up with us in our later years, so that on average, we live for about 10 years with disabilities, and also we're losing bone, and that really puts us at risk for osteoporosis. So for those factors, it's very important for women, but the principles apply for men as well.
Yeah, so one of the main findings of your research is that strengthening exercises can prevent the loss of muscle and bone, which is so debilitating for a lot of women later in life. How does that happen?
Well, if you think about it, our body is uniquely sort of programmed to adapt to the forces that we put upon it. And if we stress the muscles and we do strengthening exercise, and I'd like to define those in just a minute, and we do strengthening exercises, the muscles, our biceps and our quadriceps and all of our muscles in our bodies, they adapt to those forces, and so they get stronger. If you think about sending an astronaut up into space, what happens, whether it's a man or a woman, is because there's no gravity and the body doesn't sense that it needs the muscles and the bones to ambulate, to get around, because you're floating, you lose muscle and you lose bone very, very rapidly. So it also happens in the other way. You can lose tissue very quickly. So the body is very uniquely situated to adapt to the different environments that it's placed in.
Yeah, before we go any further, you should probably explain what you mean by strengthening exercises.
Strength training is a type of activity in which your muscles are working against resistance. For example, if I were standing and I had dumbbells in each hand and I were to bend my elbow, do a bicep curl, bring my hands up towards my shoulders so that my bicep muscles are contracting to bend the elbow, I should be able to lift the weight about 8 times. And the 6th, 7th, and 8th repetition should be at an intensity such that I feel the need to rest after 8 repetitions. And then I take a break and I do another set of 8 repetitions. And then to do a well-rounded workout, do about 6 or 8 different exercises, the upper body and the lower body, it can take about a half an hour. A couple times a week, 2 or 3 times a week is fine. And the key is that each week you're going to get stronger, so you'll be lifting heavier and heavier weights. But one thing that's very nice about strength training is that, and I think one of the reasons that this message has been really sort of taking off, is that you can do these exercises at home while you're listening to the radio or where your kids are around you or your grandchildren. It's very easy to do, and it's nice and very time efficient.
You've done research at the laboratory where you work on the differences between dieting and strength training when it comes to weight loss and body shape. What are some of the differences you found?
I think some of the very important findings that we've seen with adding physical activity and strength training in particular to a weight control program is that it really helps to boost your metabolism. A lot of individuals don't understand that when they lose weight by diet alone, that they're going to lose between 25 and 30%, if not more, of the tissue that they lose is going to be muscle and bone. And we don't want to lose muscle and bone. And when you lose muscle, what happens is your metabolism plummets by the same amount, by 25, 30, or even more percent. And that makes weight loss very, very difficult. What we've seen with strength training is that in one study that we did with men and women was that the strength training boosted metabolism by about 15%, which added up to these individuals needing to eat between 2 and 350 calories more a day just to maintain body weight.
You recommend strength training twice a week. How long should each session be in order to actually get some benefits from it?
You can get a very good workout, and what I've outlined in the book are six very simple exercises to do that take about a half an hour, and I recommend people to do them two or three times a week if they're really get into it. The new guidelines from the American College of Sports Medicine are to strength train two or three times a week, and you can really do quite an efficient workout in a half an hour.
If you're using free weights, how should you decide how heavy the weight should be?
What you need to do is we use an exercise intensity scale, and you want the weight to be such that by the sixth, seventh, and eighth repetition, it's heavy enough so that you really feel fatigued and you want to take a rest after the eighth repetition, and that you really can't lift it in good form more than 9 or 10 times. And then the key is, let's say you start with 3 pounds. Next week, your muscles are going to be stronger. You may need to lift 5 pounds. But then eventually, those 5 pounds are going to be really easy for you because you get stronger and you may need to lift heavier weights. And I give a lot of, I think goals are very important, and I give goals of what to work towards so that women can really work towards a safe weight that is going to be effective. I will say that we've never seen in any of our studies a plateauing of muscle strength. Men and women just keep getting stronger and stronger, even in their 70s and 80s, which I think is very exciting. It's not to say that you keep having to lift heavier weights. It's just to say that the muscles can get very, very strong.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Miriam Nelson, and she's the Associate Chief of the Human Physiology Laboratory at the Human Nutrition Research Center on Aging at Tufts University. She's studying the health benefits of strength training. Her new book is called Strong Women Stay Slim. Let's take a short break here, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Miriam Nelson, who's studying the health benefits of strength training. She works at Tufts University, and she has a new book called Strong Women Stay Slim. That's a follow-up to her bestseller, Strong Women Stay Young. Now, I always hear walking is the best exercise. What do you think of walking versus strength training if you're trying to figure out how to apportion your time?
Walking is a phenomenal exercise. It's really one of the best exercises. It trains your cardiovascular health. It burns calories. It helps with weight control. And it's very important for us to be walking more. But walking doesn't affect our bones very much, and it doesn't affect our muscles as much in terms of preserving our muscles as we get older. The best combination is doing some strengthening exercises, maybe a half an hour twice a week, and throughout the day and throughout your week, walking a bit more, trying to just incorporate those walks with your kids or with a spouse or at work or going up a couple flights of stairs. You can tuck walking into different parts of your life to accumulate 30 minutes over a day. And so that's one of the beauties of walking. But it again, it doesn't have the same effects on muscle and bone that the strengthening exercises have.
Although you recommend working with weights, you don't recommend walking with weights attached to your legs or walking while you're carrying weights and moving your arms back and forth. Why not?
Well, orthopedically, walking with weights on your ankles, it's really, really contraindicated. It's not good for your knees or your hip. It really alters your gait. The reality is there's a real specificity with physical activity. If you're strength training, you're really targeting your muscles and your bones. And you might as well do the strength training correctly. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's easy to do. So do that correctly. Stimulate your muscles and your bones so you're getting the most out of it. If you're walking, enjoy it. Go out into the park. You know, go out into, wherever and enjoy it. Orthopedically, holding weights in your hands may not be so bad, but it's not going to make any difference on your muscles. It may increase your cardiovascular workout a little bit more, but you could incorporate hills or just walk a little faster to make the difference for your heart as well.
I think some women would say, well, I don't really want to do strength training because I don't like the idea of having those big rippling muscles. Would your advice to them be, don't worry, you're not going to have them anyways, probably?
It doesn't happen. I think that's definitely a myth that's been there for a long time. There are women that do bodybuilding and have those rippling muscles. They do really extreme types of training. They also really alter their diet in very strange ways. Many of them take steroids. When we're talking about strengthening exercises to strengthen your muscles, to preserve your muscles and your bone, we're not talking about bulging muscles. We're talking about very feminine muscles. We're talking about strong muscles and very healthy body type. You know, it's fascinating. I was just overseas last week in Australia and New Zealand, and I was watching the news, and they had this segment on Life magazine and the fact that they did this photo shoot on Marilyn Monroe years ago, and they didn't release these photos of her lifting weights because they thought that it would be unfeminine. And now they're just releasing them. And the reality is, if you think of Marilyn Monroe, I mean, she lifted weights to have her beautiful feminine body. And I think I wish they had come out, these photos had come out, you know, two or three decades ago, because I think that the strengthening exercises would have caught on much earlier because they are very feminine.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Miriam Nelson. She's the Associate Chief of the Human Physiology Laboratory at the Human Nutrition Research Center on Aging at Tufts University, where she's studying the health benefits of strength training. Her new book is called Strong Women Stay Slim. What do you want to look at next in your research, or what are you looking at right now that you can tell us about?
Right now, what I've been looking at and what our laboratory's been really focusing on is a lot of different chronic disease states and how strengthening exercises affect them. One study that is just finishing up is with strengthening exercises and osteoarthritis of the knee. A lot of individuals, especially overweight individuals, have knee pain and problems with their knee with arthritis. We've seen that they do really well with the strength training. Couple of other studies, fascinating studies. One with a colleague of mine, Ronan Rubinoff, who's the chief of our lab, with AIDS patients. Classic syndrome with AIDS is that they're losing muscle, they're wasting away, and they're becoming very weak. And we're seeing real reversals in the loss of muscle. They're gaining muscle back. They're getting very strong. Also with kidney disease and congestive heart failure in women, a lot of these diseases, people are losing muscle. They're becoming weak, and it causes a lot of disability. So it's been fascinating to be working with a lot of different groups where you wouldn't think strength training would be the ideal exercise for them, but they're doing really, really well and thriving.
I'm wondering if you've done any research on the connection between fitness and depression or exhaustion.
Yes. Another study that was done in our laboratory was with individuals, this was with men and women who were clinically depressed. And this study came out of the fact that anecdotally we were seeing that a lot of people who were depressed weren't depressed after strength training. In this particular study that was a randomized controlled design, individuals, the 16 individuals who were randomized to the strength training group, 14 out of the 16 at the end of the study no longer met the clinical criteria for depression. These effects were every bit as powerful as you see with pharmacologic agents for depression, but there are no side effects. You were seeing other health benefits with the strengthening exercises, as well as the changes in depression. And I think that's one of the important facts about strength training, as well as physical activity in general, is you have very few side effects, but you're affecting many different disease states. You're affecting emotional well-being. You're affecting sleep. Individuals who are active sleep better. So there is this, not to be trendy, but there is this real mind-body connection to help make an individual much healthier for a long period of time.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Miriam Nelson is the Associate Chief of the Human Physiology Laboratory at the Tufts University Center on Aging. Her new book is called Strong Women Stay Slim.